The title of my sermon is Proverbs for Prosperity. You'll say, well, is it about money? I don't care about money. You know, I know a lot of people say, I don't care about the one. The Bible does talk a lot about money. But some people say, I don't care about money. No, the people that say they don't care about money often care about the things money will buy. They'll say, I don't care about money. I just like to have a nice car. I want to have a nice home. I want to have nice shoes. I want to have a nice dress and or a nice suit or nice this. I want the things money can buy. Well, what the things money can buy, you need money. Okay. So, and we're warned about money not to love it. You know, the Bible talks about the love of money is a root, not the root, but a root of all evil. And you follow the money. If you love it so much, you might commit crimes for it. You might steal. You might, you know, do all kinds of things, fraudsters and so on that want money. They'll do anything to get it. But without it, life is not very pleasant. You know, if you don't have any money, it's a difficult life because you want to buy something, you can't buy it, you can't go anywhere, you can't use it. So people often use credit cards or so they don't think about money. Because, you know, in the old days, it was a barter system. Many people that started off with a barter, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. I'll give this to you if you give that to me in a barter system. By the way, they do not like barter systems here in the state of California. They don't want professionals. For instance, let's say I'm a psychologist and somebody else is a chiropractor. I'll do counseling for you if you'll do this for me. They don't like that. If they find it out, they don't like it at all because they don't get taxes from them. They only get taxes when money changes hands, and you put that money into your bank account. That's why they get it. Now, money is one of the deep problems in many marriages. If you don't have enough money, it's usually not too much money, but sometimes it is too much money. You know, Lucy and Desi Arnaz, Lucille Ball, did fine until they hit it big. And then he was, you know, he had eyes for other women and people, you know, get a lot of money. And then and it ruins their relationship. Many times that happens. But in most marriages, it's not too much money. It's generally they hope they get too much money, but it's that where I can't buy that. What did you do? Why did you spend that? Why did you? I wanted that. I needed that. Well, we don't have enough now to make the electric bill, or we don't have enough to do this. We don't have enough to do that. So a lot of times, fighting over money becomes a really big issue. There are many problems facing good Christians. And good Christian church members often have problems with money. And, you know, many of them are right up against the wire with how much money they, you know, they don't have. And they would like to have more money. Now, Jesus' advice was this. I know that this sounds funny. I'm going to read it in the King James Version. It's from Matthew 6. And verse 31, here's the way they translate it. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Whatever, wherewithal shall we be clothed? What are we going to put on? Okay. So Jesus says, and this is the King James Version. King James Version is often way out of date for the kind of language we speak today, and often uses faulty Greek manuscripts is what I want to say, faulty Greek manuscripts. Listen to it in the more modern, the New American Standard Version. This is Matthew 6, verse 31. I'll read continuously. To verse 34. It doesn't mean don't take a thought. Of course, you have to have a thought, you know, okay? Don't take a thought, what are we going to eat? People often say, what are we having for dinner tonight? Is that a thought? Of course it is. You have to have a thought. But the real Greek word here means don't worry. So the New American Standard Version and plenty of other versions will say do not worry. Matthew 6, now verse 31. Do not worry then, Jesus says. Don't worry saying, what will we eat? And they're worried, like, well, are we going to have anything food? Are we going to, or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? Don't worry. Now listen to the next verse. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father, what does he know? He knows you need all these things. You don't think God knows you need to eat, you need to drink, you have to have clothing on? Of course he does. But seek first, is Jesus' advice in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom, his kingdom, not this kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. And notice the next phrase, and his righteousness, not your righteousness, not how good you are, not how good you can be, his righteousness. That's the transference of righteousness that comes from faith. The righteousness that comes from God by faith in Christ Jesus. And all these things will be added. You'll get them. Now, you'll get them if you follow the principles of the Proverbs. You won't get them if you just sit still and do nothing. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. That doesn't mean you don't plan for it. You do plan. You do think about it, but you don't worry about it, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How about that? That's true. Each day. You get up for a day, you thought everything's going fine, something breaks. You know, your car breaks down. This happens. You got a busted pipe in your house, and you know your hot water heater doesn't work. You got this trouble, you got that trouble. You know, I mean, all kinds of things can happen. So Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. It is the blessing. Now that Hebrew word implies the benefit. It's the benefit, okay, of the eternal, the YHWH, that makes rich. It's God's benefit. Don't ever think that it's all you. Now, it has to be part you, but don't think that it's all you. If you don't have good health, if God hasn't given you a strength, if God hasn't given you some kind of sense, you wouldn't be it. So it's the blessing or benefit of the eternal that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow. That's Proverbs 10, verse 22. Because you remember in Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I've done all this. It's my power, my greatness, I did all this. No. And that moment he didn't give God glory, and guess what? They're all taken away from him. He just went into craziness. So let's talk about the principles of prosperity. There are a number of proverbs that tell us a little bit, and if you put these proverbs to work in your life, no, you're not going to be a billionaire like Bezos or like Bill Gates or like Donald Trump or something else. You're not thinking in terms of billions. Prosperous. You don't need that. But listen to this statement. Because when you get very rich, you're going to worry about something. Here it is. Proverbs 13 and verse 8. The ransom of a man's life is his wealth. I'm reading from the New English Translation, and it's pretty much similar to the New American Standard. The ransom of a man's life is his wealth. But the poor person doesn't hear any threat. He doesn't feel threatened by it. Why? He's got no money. If you go and people think you've got money, or your children have money, and you and they go to a place where they could be captured, kidnapped. Who kidnaps a little kid where their parents live in a little shack? You know, who kidnaps that and asks for a lot of money? You're not going to get a lot of money from them. They have no money. But if you're a wealthy person, you better keep track of your kids, because if they are captured, you know, just like we saw the Nancy Guthrie, she was taken out of her house. Her daughter was on television and made quite a bit of money, and she's gone. They were offering $1 million for her to come back, a ransom. We'll give you $1 million, bring it back. So the word ransom here in the Hebrew indicates that the rich are susceptible to kidnapping and robbery. Right. If you're rich, I mean, they're going to rob somebody who doesn't have anything. What's the point? But the poor man pays no attention to blackmail. He's not worried about somebody capturing and blackmailing him because he's got no money. Okay. He has no money to buy off the captures, the kidnappers. He's got no money. What am I going to put out? So the rich person is exposed to legal attacks and threats and physical violence, and he must use his wealth as a ransom. He has to, I'll give you my money if you give me my daughter back, or give me my wife back, or give me this person back, and so on. Now, what people do who are rich, you know, what do? They buy insurance. They buy liability insurance. They buy other things. If you're wealthy and you got a lot of money, you would have to buy liability insurance, which we all do when we drive a car. You know, you drive a car, you want to have some liability insurance. Otherwise, you're very vulnerable to being sued and take whatever money you have. Maybe you don't have much, but they would take whatever money you have in a lawsuit. Okay, so that's Proverbs 13, verse 8. Now I want to drop down to verse 18, Proverbs 13, verse 18. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline. Discipline. But he who regards reproof will be honored. In other words, if you cannot, nobody can tell you anything. They can't correct you. They can't tell you. They can't tell you how to do something better. You just don't take any. You don't take any advice from anybody. I don't need that. I don't need to hear from you. I know what I'm doing. I've got it all. And you, guess what's going to happen? Poverty and shame. If you don't listen to the wise, if you don't listen. Let me read that in the New English Translation. The one who neglects discipline. Now, discipline can mean that you get up, you go to the job, you wake up. I knew a case where a person had a very good job, paid 401k, he got very good insurance. This person got, looked like, you know, there was upward mobility. They liked him in there and everything, but the person was constantly late. Constantly, they couldn't get up, couldn't get himself over to the job, and the job wasn't that far away. It could be there by driving in 5 minutes, walking maybe 20 minutes. So he could not become disciplined. He did not get up. Okay. The one who neglects discipline ends up in poverty and shame. But the one who accepts reproof is honored. He will be honored. So here's a person getting warned, getting told, if you're late, if you keep being late, he's written up again. If you're late one more time, on this good job you have, you're going to be fired. Now, if they said that to me, I'd be up so early. I'd be there a half hour early. I know people that used to work downtown at a manufacturing company, and they would get there a half hour early because they'd afraid they'd get stuck in traffic and they'd be late. They have to punch the card, but they get there 45 minutes early sometimes, sit around, have coffee, maybe have something to eat or something, and talk with some other people. And then they punch in exactly on time. If they're there to be supposed to be there, punch in at 6, they are. If they're 2, they are. Whatever they are in the shift, they are there because they want their job. But poverty and shame, you lost that job. It's a good job. And you went into depression because of it, poverty and shame. To him that lacks what? You can't make yourself do what you're supposed to do. What a shame is that. Proverbs 13, verse 11. Now, here's a very great warning to people who want fast. You know, I want to steal it. I want to do it by fraud. I want to get wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. You know, easy come, guess what happens? Easy go. You have no value for money. You don't see a value because you didn't put any effort into it. You got it by fraud. Let me read that from the New English Translation again. Wealth gained quickly will dwindle away, but the one who gathers it, they gather the wealth little by little, will become rich. The way to become rich is to live below your means. I don't care if you say, well, I don't make that much money. Well, live below your means if possible. Don't go out and spend for junk stuff. Don't spend foolishly. Don't spend for crazy stuff. Don't spend for bad food. Don't spend for, you know, the buying a Coke in a dispenser or buying Pepsi or 7-Up or anything else, sodas in a dispenser, and buying candy bars along with it. Don't do that. Hurting your health, number one. Wasting your money, number two. Proverbs 14, verse 23, a very important principle. Listen to this principle. In all labor, I think King James says work. In all labor or work, there is profit. In all labor, there is profit. Okay? But mere talk leads only to poverty. You're going to sit around and talk. You don't do anything. You sit around, you smoke, or you drink, or you sit around and you just sit around and you don't do anything. Your place is falling apart. You don't do anything. You don't have any, you don't get out and do it. You're not working. Do something to work. In all work, in all labor, there is profit. But the mere talk leads only, just that's all you do is talk. You don't, now some talk is work, okay? What I'm doing right now, I'm working as well as talking. I'm speaking to you, giving you a message and everything, but that's my work. In all labor, there's a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. And listen to this next phrase, the crown of the wise is their money, their riches, the crown of the wise. But the folly of fools is foolishness. The folly of fools is foolishness. No wonder, no kidding. Fools and all their stupidity, it's just the whole put it all together, it's nothing but a bunch of foolishness. They don't get anywhere. They don't do anything, you know. In all work, there is profit and the crown of the wise. You say you're very wise. I'm smart. I'm wise. How did you do? Are you getting ahead? Are you doing anything? Are you saving any money? Are you getting yourself well? I mean, you're doing so. How are you doing? The crown of the wise is their riches. I mean, you say you're so wise. Well, how come you're so poor? If you're so wise, how come you're so down and out? How come you don't want to say that. You know, sometimes, some people just, they have the, now anybody can run across hard luck. I know that. You can have bad things happen. I know that. We all know that. But generally, this is talking generally. By the way, all these are in poetic language. You hear that? In all labor, there is profit. That's one statement. But the mere talk leads only to poverty. So, boom, boom. That's how a Hebrew poetry works. Hebrew poetry makes a statement and comes back with the same statement that makes sort of the emphasis is the same. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the folly of fools is foolishness. Yeah, see that? That's Hebrew poetry. It doesn't rhyme, but it's just two statements like that. Proverbs 11, verse 15. He who is a guarantor for a stranger. Now, look, when my wife and I first got married, we had no credit. I'm just getting we just graduated from college. Just got a job. I didn't get paid any increase from even when I was on the baptizing tour. So we didn't have much, and we had no credit. Okay, so we asked Molly's sister Norma, could we use your credit and buy a car? We needed a car. I was going into the field, and they wanted me to have a car. I was going to go work under another minister, and so I needed a car. I needed a car to get there. I needed a car while I was there. So she said, okay. She had good credit. So we bought the car under her name. And we said, we will pay you back. It's under her name, but we had the car. And then later, as we continued to increase our credit, we went ahead and transferred the title to us. Okay. That's how we started. Now, she was the guarantor. She let us have the car. We went off with the car. And she would have to pay for it if we didn't pay for it. And that's what it means. He who is a guarantor for a stranger, you don't know this person, you're going to guarantee that, will surely suffer for it. You don't guarantee somebody else. You don't know them really well. But he who hates being a guarantor is secure. I don't do that. I don't guarantee anybody's. I won't stand responsible for your spending. Okay. Now, maybe if I know you, I know that you're very honest. I know you had a little bad luck. I'll do it for you. But I'm not going to stand responsible for somebody else's spending. Chapter 11 of Proverbs. Verse 24, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. One who scatters, I mean, he's generous. He'll give us a little bit and he increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want for him or her. You withhold what is justly due. You don't give it. You know, you need to be generous. So it says in Proverbs 11, verse 25, notice the next verse, the generous person will be prosperous. Now, that's got to have a caveat to it. You know, you got to be sensible. The generous person will be prosperous, provided he doesn't get to give all of his money away. You can't be prosperous if you give it all away, and you're stupid the way you're giving all money away. The generous person, generally, you can be generous within inside your own budget and within inside your own income. You know how generous you can be. If you're not generous, you won't tip even 10%. You won't tip anybody. They serve you. You won't have even that. You're not generous. The generous person will be prosperous. And he who waters will himself be watered. Listen to that. He who waters will himself be watered. Now, it doesn't mean you give all your money away. It just means that you're generous to the spot. You know, somebody does this for you. Somebody brings your car up. Somebody serves you at a meal or something, a waitress or somebody. They're working. They're working for a living, and you give them a tip. Now, you don't have to give them $1,000. I mean, that's stupid. But you can give them a proper tip, you know, 15, 20%, and you give them a nice tip, decent, and you're doing it. You're generous. Be generous. Think generously. Don't think specifically, you know, so tight with everything. Be generous in your life. Okay, Proverbs 12, verse 11. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread. But he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. That's a proverb, and it's poetic. You work, you till the land. What are you doing when it's time to till the land? Now, you know, these are all back in agrarian type societies. It means you get up, you work your business, you work your farm, you till the land, you're going to have plenty of bread, you get it out there. But he who, what does it do? He who pursues worthless stuff, lacks sense. You're pursuing stuff that doesn't matter, you're pursuing stuff. Now, listen, I've seen people do pursuing. Now, is it worthless? I don't know. I had a gentleman bring his son in to see me. His son's not doing well in school. The teachers are warning him because he's getting bad grades and so on. But the father is so proud of the son in one sense. And he says, I want to show you what he does. He's really great. So they bring in a video game. They bring in the monitor, they bring in the game, then they plug it in and put it on there. And he says to me, see if you can do this. This guy is going through and you have these little things that you tap this way and it moves this way and tap this way and moves it. See if you can get this man through over this fence and into the killing all the bad guys and all that. See if you can get him in. Well, I try. Okay. My man, I'm doing it. He gets shot before he even gets to the gate. He doesn't shoot well. I can't do it. So I tried two or three times. Then his father says, watch him. He takes the little board, you know, the little, whatever you call it, I don't know. And he puts it behind his back. He's not even looking on the, and he is doing it. He gets the guy over the fence. He shoots this guy. He goes over here, and they shoot him, miss him. And he goes over here. He goes this way. And he shoots this, and he just wipes them out. He knows how to play that video game. And he knows how, and he can do it behind his back. Sometimes his father says he can do it with his eyes closed. Really? Wow. And his father said, oh, man, he really knows this game. So I said to the young man, I said, tell me, how many hours a day do you play this game? How many hours a day do you spend on this? He said, oh, I don't know, 7-8 hours a day. And his father said, yeah, oh, yeah, he's playing that game a lot. I said, seven to 8 hours a day, 8 hours on this video game. I said, you know, if I spend 8 hours a day at anything, maybe learning to juggle, maybe learning to roller skate, maybe learning to ice skate, maybe learning math, maybe learning other things that are good to do. I could learn to play the violin. I could learn to play the piano. 8 hours a day, every day. Yes, he's good at it. Oh, yes, he's super at it. His father was so proud of him. I said, Well, you realize 8 hours a day, what he could be learning. He could learn math, he could learn English, he could write books, he could do 8 hours per day. Most professional pianists, saxophonists, jazz people, they spend, 6 to 8 hours a day playing their instrument and whatever it is, playing the trumpet, whatever it is. For 8 hours a day, he'd be good at anything. You would be too. You spend 8 hours a day doing something, learning something, developing skills. He developed a skill. He does have it. Oh, there's no doubt about it. I don't know if he's famous. I don't know if he made any money, but it doesn't seem, he was pursuing something. I didn't know if there was some kind of way that you do well with it. I don't know. Maybe he'll develop video type games and become somebody who will start up and create video type games. But right now, all I think is that he's using these games. He's studying, he's learning. Yes, that's fine. He's pursuing something. Is it going to pay off for him in life? Is it going to pay off? I don't know. But 8 hours a day, look what he could have done with 8 hours a day. Look what you could do with 8 hours a day. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things. You got to decide whether your time on is worthless. Worthless. Now, what I mean by worthless, and that must be your own thing. Oh, he had fun. Oh, he had fun, and he probably is in a contest with other people. He probably won contests. He feels good about it. He has good things. It's worthless because there's no money in it. There's no benefit to it. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread. This kid would not have plenty of bread. He's spending all his money. He's not even doing well in school. His father said, well, can you help him? Well, I could help him if he doesn't spend his money, his time on this machine, on these games. Yeah. He who tills the land will have plenty of bread. You work something that works. You plant your wheat. You till the land. You get it ready. You put stuff in it. You plant it. But he who pursues worthless stuff, worthless things, lacks sense. He has no sense. Okay? Proverbs 12, verse 14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words. The fruit of his words. And the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. In other words, if you go out and do good things with your words, and you can do, there's some other proverbs about words. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And it's beautiful. You'd be surprised what you can do with a good word. You give somebody a good word. You give them a compliment. You give them something. A good word is a wonderful thing. You can be satisfied. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words. On the other hand, let's go the other way. You can be in trouble with the fruit of your words. You can get yourself fired by the fruit of your words. You can get yourself in jail by the fruit of your words. You can get yourself cursed by the fruit of your words. You can get yourself in a fight by the fruit of your words. You can get yourself all kinds of problems by the fruit of your words. But a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words. In other words, you're responsible for what you say. And the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. You get out and do some work. Do some good deeds with your hands. It'll return to you. You'll have good things coming back to you. Okay? Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn. He's a sluggard. Oh, man, I just finished the harvest. I've got to take a little time off. I don't, we got the autumn now. And And so autumn is gone. We harvested our fruit. I'm not going to, the sluggard does not plow after autumn. So what happens because you don't plow when the right time comes? So he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 3 has something to say about this as well. There is a time to give birth and a time to die. Now, I don't like reading that. I don't like it. I know there's a time. There's a time to give birth. My mother gave me birth. And then there will be a time for me to die, and there's a time for her to die. We all were born. And, you know, you see all these grave markers. They have the date of their birth, and they have the date of the death. And there was a time. There was a time for this person to be born, and there was a time for them to die. Yeah, a time to give birth and a time to die. But then also, that's the lesson of the back, the last side of it. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. You know, you have the harvest, they're all done. You have a certain kind of, you know, let's say you had tomato plants. Yeah, they did fine. Now you got to take them out. You got to uproot them and then plant something else and retill the soil and something like that. There are times when you have to redo it. You have to replant, redo it. Okay, so here it is. A sluggard does not plow after the autumn. So he begs during the harvest and has nothing. There's a time to plant. There's a time to uproot what has been planted. And then Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Do not love sleep. Proverbs 20, verse 13. Do not love sleep. Now, you need sleep. You should have sleep. But if you love sleep, you just want to sleep. You don't want to... You love sleep. It's time to get up. It's time to go to work, but you want to sleep. You love sleep. Do not love sleep, or you will become poor. You can't discipline yourself. You can't make yourself get up, get to the work, get your job, get in your car, do the things you need to do. Let's say you're taking a trip, and your plane leaves at 8 o'clock in the morning. And you're an hour from the airport, what time do you have to get up? And they want you there 2 hours before the plane leaves, so you have to be there at 6. What time do you have to get up? You have to be up at least by 3:30 to 4 to get yourself all ready and make sure you shut off the electricity or water or in your house if you're going to take a long trip. I mean, you got to get there. But he who loves, do not love sleep. Or you're going to miss out on a lot of events, or you will become poor. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food. Get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. You get up. What do you do when it's time to get up? You just sleep. You love sleep. I just want to sleep. I love sleep. We all like sleep. I like it. You like it. I'd like to have a good night's sleep sometime, but sometimes I wake up 2 or 3 times a night. But that's okay. You can take a nap or something. You can take a nap on the plane. You can take a nap on the boat if you're taking a trip by a boat. You can take a nap later, but get up when it's time to get up, or you will become poor. If that's what you love that. And there's another way to become poor, and that is Proverbs 21 and verse 17. Listen to this. He who loves pleasure, you love pleasure. Just like to have fun, like to have pleasure, like to have a nice massage, like to have a nice area, like to go swimming. I like to have sit out in the sun. I like pleasure. I like food. I like good things. He who loves pleasure will become poor, a poor person. He who loves, now when you love it, you're going to give your time to it, your money for it, you love it. He who loves wine and oil, that's olive oil, that's a higher price. You like nice food, you like good places, will not become rich. There's the poet. See the poetic thing? There's the Hebrew poetry, okay? Hebrew poetry is trying to make an impact on you. He who loves pleasure will become a poor person. And he who loves wine, sumptuous food, just loves this sumptuous food, will not become rich. If that's your love, if that's what you're willing to spend your money on, and you're spending your money on that continuously, you will not become rich. No, not that you will become rich if you don't. I mean, some people don't get rich. I mean, how rich will you want to be? But you'll not get it if you love sleep. You'll not get it if you love pleasure. You'll not get it if you love good food and expensive food, and you're going to spend your money for it. If that's what you love, that's where you're going to put your money. That's what you're going to put your time. That's what you're going to put your effort into. And the problem is you won't. I knew people that made a lot of money. I've known people made a lot of money. And they were out expensive restaurants, that cost them, $100 to $200, $300, regularly. They were just constant. And they loved it. They loved it so much they were out there. Then they get their credit card bill and nearly faint. Okay. We're going to stop there. Proverbs 21, verse 17. Please put that in your vocabulary. He who loves pleasure, and the other one, Proverbs 20, verse 13, do not love sleep. He who loves pleasure will become poor. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. There's no way to get there. You're going to be spending all your money, all your time going to these things. Okay? Now, next time we're going to continue with a few more Proverbs, and then I want to deal with a very difficult passage about responsibility. We're going to deal with it, and there's a lesson for us all in this difficult passage, very difficult passage in your Bible. And we'll see, it's a statement by Jesus, a very difficult to interpret, very difficult to understand it completely. It's not hard to, if you read it, it's not hard, but difficulties come in. How, who said what, when, and how is this statement? How does it go through? We'll talk about that. And if you'll stay with me as we go through that, look at in your Bible so you see what we're talking about. I think you'll find it very interesting. God willing, we will see you next week for the sermon. Let's now have a closing prayer. Father in heaven, as we come before you, knowing that you've given so much understanding and in your scriptures and so much wisdom that probably most of us don't have automatically, but the wisdom that's gone through the ages, these proverbs have been collected. They've been looked at. They've been seen through the eyes of many people who are wiser than we are. And we want to walk with the wise. When we listen to the words of the wise, they help make us wise. We give you thanks. We pray, Father, for those who are in desperate need for your healing, desperate need for taking away their pain and their suffering. We thank you, desperate need, because they want to cling to life. We're asking you to be merciful to them and to heal them and to strengthen them and to be with the people who take care of them. We give you thanks now for the freedom that we have to preach your word and the freedom we have to assemble and the freedom we have to make this streaming video available to all. In Jesus' name, we give you blessing and honor and thanks. Amen.